Well, we're thankful to be here tonight. Felt the power of God when I walked in the door back there.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, we're just so thankful for the blessings of grace. You can be turning your Bibles, the book of Luke, chapter number 1, and beginning in verse number 5 tonight.
Yep.
I preached a couple of weeks ago from Psalm chapter 84, and the psalmist talking about his soul longing for the courts, even thy courts, for the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that his heart and his flesh cried out for the living God, and that there was that with his whole being that he desired to be with God.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily the tabernacle itself, but it's what the tabernacle was. It is the place of God. It wasn't in those days, and not like it is now. They didn't have the Holy Ghost of God that dwelt within them. The Holy Ghost would come and empower them and then depart. So there was something special about the house of God. It meant the presence of God. Would to God that we had such a desire in this hour for the living God. Oh, listen, Peter said unto you which believe, therefore he is,
yes, he is
precious. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. Tonight the word of God said, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless.
Wow.
And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among me. And Father, as we come tonight before the throne of grace, we do thank you, Lord God, for allowing us this opportunity once again. God, you know my concerns and my fears, at least that I should, Father, in that go my own way, Father, or do something in the flesh. I pray, for that grace and that strength that is needed tonight. God, that you'd give us direction and give us a touch from heaven. God, open hearts to your precious word. God, we thank you and we praise you, for it's in Jesus' dear name we do pray. Amen. Now, from our text tonight, we find out that Zacharias and Elizabeth, that they are godly people that are living in a godless day. Godly people in a godless day. I'm glad they still some folks around that live godly in this godly, ungodly world. But you notice tonight that the Bible tells us, and we learn that they were both in that from a priestly line, but they had no children. Even though they had asked God, for it had been their prayer that God would bless them with a child. And to not have a child for a woman in that day was to be seen as a curse from God. As the psalmist said, that children are an heritage of the Lord. And that each woman in that day was hoping to have children, hoping that they might be the mother of the Messiah. So they were a godly line, a godly priestly line, but they had no children, though they had asked God for those children. And that while Zacharias is serving in the temple, that the angel, and we learn that it is Gabriel, that the angel appears to Zacharias and tells him that his prayer has been heard. Now listen, Zacharias makes the excuse and tells, said, "Whereby shall I know this? From an old man and my wife well stricken in years." And my thought right there is this, that they had been praying for a long time that they might have children. But don't you imagine there come a time when they might have thought that we're past age and that it is no longer needed or no longer useful for us to take our time praying for this situation. But the angel says, "Thy prayer has been heard." Thank God, I'm glad. Thank God that in our praying that we can set some things in motion. That though we may forget about them, or though we may move away from them, I'm glad that we're serving a God tonight that hears and answers a prayer. But this angel Gabriel comes to Zacharias there, and he says, "Your prayer's been heard." And he says, "You're going to have a son." And not only are you going to have a son, but you're going to call him by the name of John. And then this son that you're going to have, this baby, said he is going to be a Nazarite. That he is going to be separated unto God. That he's going to have the touch of God upon him. And not only that, he said, "Zacharias, this little baby boy you're fixing to have, said he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God." And then he said, "Zacharias, I got one more thing to tell you about that little boy." I said, "That little boy is going to be a preacher." Thank God, he's going to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, reckon where them mamas are in this day that are praying, "God, send me a little preacher boy." I mean, listen, we've got a lady in our church. She's got a grandson. He's about 4 or 5 now. A couple of years ago, she gave a testimony. She said, "Help me to pray for my grandson," said, "his daddy has some health issues and we're afraid it's going to, he's going to end up with them. He can have seizures and different things." She said, "Help me to pray for him." She said, "Not only that," said, "help me pray for him," said, "he's just hard to handle." She said, "And I'm praying that God will call him a preacher." She said, "I'm praying that God will make a preacher out of him." Throughout that building, there was snickers and giggles and lives. I said, "You let me tell you something. There's worse things things that your children can grow up to be than a preacher. Thank God your children can grow up to be an old drunkard or a drug addict and break that mama's heart. I said there's worse things to be than a preacher. I thank God. Listen, Zacharias got the message, and the angel said this little boy is going to be a preacher. I thank God. Listen, he was mightily used of God. But I want you to notice some things tonight. First of all, there in verse number 20, as Zacharias had said, whereby shall I know this? That's verse 18. He said, I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. You see the doubt or the question in the mind of Zacharias. And then in verse number 20 said, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And I've got a note in my Bible right there that says that Zacharias lost his voice because of his doubt, because of perhaps his unbelief. But I want to say tonight that I'm afraid that there's a lot of folks in and around the house of God that have lost their voice. Listen, you understand tonight that when God saved us, if you're saved by that marvelous grace of God, that God has given each and every one a voice that is to be used for His glory. Thank God. I want to give you just some things tonight, some folks that have lost their voice. First of all, these folks that have lost their voice of prayer. Luke 18 and 1 said that Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. You understand that it's one or the other, that we're either praying or we're fainting because we're not praying. And I say there's a lot of folks tonight that have lost their voice of a prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 said that we are to pray without ceasing. 1 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Listen, I say we're letting down on God and we've lost our voice of prayer. James 5 and 16 said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I thank God. Listen, where is our attitude of prayer? Can I say to you tonight, listen, that when we lose our voice of praying, then we're going to lose a lot of other things. Listen, we're going to lose that joy, and that we're going to lose that fellowship. We're going to lose that peace with God. Listen, I remember him talking about when I was a little boy, and even before that, there around the house when revival season would come. Listen, you could walk up and down the roads and hear them old saints of God filling them hills and filling them hollers, praying for all timey revival. Listen, we've lost our voice of praying. You wonder, it's no wonder why we don't see what we used to see. We're not asking God for it. We're not praying like we ought to pray. We've lost our voice of prayer. God help us to get that voice back. The prayer to a child of God is as essential as air to breathe. That without prayer, we lose the ability to communicate with God. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with praying. We ought to be prayer warriors. We've got a young man, he's in his 30s, I guess. Listen, he got saved back in January. I thought he'd got saved before at another church. But he come one Sunday morning. I'd been dealing with a kidney infection. And I had a preacher coming in Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I was sick. I just didn't have much strength. And I called that preacher in. And even before the preacher got up to preach, Brother Jason come and hit that altar. And I've not heard crying and praying like that. And I couldn't tell you how long. Listen, he came back. I thought he just got right with God. There wasn't much conversation. But he come back Sunday night. And before the preacher could begin to preach, he hit the altar again. I'm talking about wailing and weeping before God. I'm talking about, listen, them old timey prayers that burden the heart. Listen, baby, we ought to get back to them old days. You remember when God saved you and you wept and you pled before God? Listen, this young man got on that altar and I'm saying he was crying, "Oh God, thank God." He said, "Oh God, if you don't save me, I'm going to die and go to hell." Listen, that's the kind of passion that we must ever keep in our prayer life. It'd do me and you good to get us in that secret place, brother, and begin to cry out, "Oh God, send a revival. Oh God, touch my soul. Oh God, do it again. Oh God, send the fire. God, send the power." I believe God would if we would just get earnest with God.
Yes, brother.
Many have lost their voice of praying. A few years ago, I went down to Georgia to camp meeting. That's actually this week, Bible Baptist Church. Amen. And I went the first year by myself. The next year, my wife said, "I'll go with you. My aunt lives just down the road." Turns out a little farther than down the road, but we stayed with her and she stayed with her. She stayed with her aunt while I went to church. I mean, I was at church from 9:30 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. And it was about a 40-minute drive through the backwoods of North Georgia. And when I get on the interstate, when I leave, go to work, wherever I'm going, if I get on that interstate, it's just a time to pray. I pulled out of that church parking lot. There'd just been about 8 or 9 people saved in that meeting that evening. It was about 9:30 when I left, and God said, "Let's talk a little bit." I said, "That's fine." Oh, listen, I'm talking about an attitude of prayer that moved in with me. I'm talking about Romans 8 when the Bible said the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I thank God when the Holy Ghost is involved in the praying. You know something's going on. I thank God. Listen, I got in that car and began to pray. Listen, my eyes filled with tears. I thank God. Listen, I began to weep and plead and trying to drive down that road and get back to where my wife was. I drove about halfway. I couldn't hardly see. I couldn't hardly speak. I was just enjoying the presence of God.
That's right.
There's a dog leg in that road, and I seen some blue lights way out yonder. And when I made that turn, I figured out where it was at. Who puts a 4-way stop sign out in the middle of nowhere?
Georgia.
I mean the middle of nowhere. And I thought, I know where that's at. I said, "Oh Lord, they've had a bad wreck. Somebody's run one of them stop signs." And I got on that straightaway heading on into that place. And then I realized it wasn't a wreck, but they was checking driver's license. And there I was, my eyes was all swelled up, about swelled shut. I was praying and talking to God. I said, "Lord, I'm fixing to go to jail right here." I had my lunch bucket over there because I'm a diabetic. I had my syringes and everything over there. And I come up to that stop sign. son. I said, God, I'm enjoying myself, but I'm fixing to go to jail. Because just as surely as that fella asked me where I've been, where I'm coming from, I'm going to come unglued and I'm going to have to get out of this car. And they're going to think I'm on something. And I'm going to jail. Pulled up there and the fella said, hey, how you doing? I said, pretty good. I was afraid he'd see my eyes about swelled shut. Gave him my license. He looked at him. He said, have a good evening. I said, I will, thank God. I pulled out, went through that stop sign, got on the other side, and I said, well, Lord, I guess that spirit of prayer's gone now. Listen, just about 100 yards down the road, God said, we're not done yet.
Back in.
Oh, thank God. I'm glad he knew. Oh, I'm telling you, when you get in an attitude of prayer and a spirit of prayer, you'll know. Thank God, that's where we need to be. There's so many that have lost the voice of prayer.
You're reaching it right, brother.
We've forgotten how to pray. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have to get our voice of prayer. But then there's those that have lost the voice of praise. If you look in Psalm 146 through 150, those last five psalms in the Word of God, that each of them begins with and they end with these words, praise ye the Lord. I mean, listen, those chapters, those psalms tell when, where, and how to praise the Lord. You understand, I know we're living in the last days and the Lord could come as they sung and Brother Robert mentioned. Thank God he could come before this service is out. But don't you know tonight that we're still in a time when we can praise the Lord? Don't you know that praise and worship is still in order, and that praise doesn't have to be shouting and hollering. It could be a song. It could be in tears. I know a brother, he's in heaven now, but he would start weeping, and before he was done, he'd start giggling, but he was praising the Lord.
That's right.
Folks have lost their voice of praise. It doesn't necessarily mean a shout. It doesn't necessarily mean running the aisles. It is an expression from the heart that exalts the Lord. I heard a preacher say one time, he was talking about being in a meeting. He's sitting about on the second or third row, and he's a shouter. And there's a woman sitting in front of him, had a little baby, and God touched his heart, and he just went to shout, and that woman turned around and said, you've scared this baby to death. He said, you should have had it broke in. Thank God, listen, that's what's wrong. Listen, we're not shouting anymore. We're not praising God anymore. We're letting our burdens, and we're letting the things of this world drag us down when we ought to be able to express what's in our heart and thank God and praise God that we're saved and not going to hell. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I mean, I deserve to be there. I should already be there, but for the blood, but for the finished work of Calvary, but for what Jesus did for me, I ought to be able to praise and worship Him. Lost our voice of praise. It exalts the Lord. I went to that camp meeting one of them years. Have you been down there in big church?
Yeah.
They said about 400, but I believe they had about 600 in it.
Yeah.
Big old choir loft. And I was sitting down on the front one day, and there's in that big old choir loft at the farthest corner, there's this boy. From where I was, I thought he's about 10 years old, and he just started waving, and he just started rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah.
I believe that was the afternoon service. I came back that night. And I was sitting on the front waiting on the service to start, and people are milling around. This young man comes around. He comes to me and he says, sir, he said, are you a preacher? I said, I am. He said, would you sign my Bible?
Yeah.
I said, yes, sir, I'll be glad to sign it. I said, let me ask you something. I said, was you that young feller sitting up there that was a shouting? He said, I wasn't shouting. It's semantics. He was praising the Lord. I don't know if he thought I was jumping on him or something. I wasn't. I just wanted to hear from him. I was impressed. Because here's what I thought 11 or 12 year old told, turned out he was 14. I said, was you that one that was up there? He said, yes, sir. He said, but I'll tell you, sir, he said, I just can't help it. Thank God. Oh, listen, don't you like it when you can't help it? Thank God when you get reminded of where you used to be. I mean, thank God when you get reminded of the hell holes of this world, where God found you and brought you out of. Thank God. I mean, listen, you just can't help it. Want to praise his name. Want to raise your hand to the glory of God because you're not what you used to be. We've lost our voice of praise. I understand that there's seven words in the Hebrew that translate to praise in the Old Testament, and that every one of those words can either be seen or heard or both. That tells me that you worship him when you worship him and you praise him. Somebody else is going to know it. Hey, thank God. I mean, when you praise the Lord, it's going to have an impact on somebody else. Thank God. It's like a fire that's jumping from one to the other. Thank God. You ought to be a worshiping God. You ought to be a praising God. Let somebody else see. Let somebody else know what God has done for you. Somebody needs to know. We ought to be praising him for who he is and for what he does. You understand tonight that them new converts, they'll tell on a church. That young man I was talking about that got saved back in January. I mean, we just baptized him last Sunday, a week ago. But I'm telling you, this young man, I don't know all of his story. I know he had some bad things going on. Lost his marriage and probably on drugs and everything else. But God saved him out of that. And I want to say it this way tonight, that ever since the night that God saved him, there hadn't been a service, including a Wednesday night. You know, nobody does anything on Wednesday night. There ain't been a Wednesday night, or there ain't been a service where that fella at some point during the service just gives a good old war whoop and shouts and praises God that he is no longer lost, but he praises God because God had saved him from his sin. Even last night we had communion service, and that's some of the quietest services you'll ever have. I understand the solemnness of it. But when it was established, and we read about it over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, it was a time of gratitude and a time of joy.
Feast.
That fella began to shout in the meeting last night.
Yes, sir.
I mean, listen, thank God them new converts will tell on the church. You see, they ain't learned yet that you ain't supposed to do that. They ain't learned yet that you're supposed to be dignified. Thank God, I'm glad they still some young ones getting saved. And they're not worried about being dignified. They're not worried about what you do or don't do. They can't figure out why you're not enjoying it like they're enjoying it. Thank God, maybe God needs to take us back and remind us what he brought us from. Maybe God needs to take us back and show Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Thank God that we can be reminded of God's great grace, that we might not be ashamed to praise him.
Yes, sir.
Lost our voice of a praise. But then some tonight, they've lost that voice of prayer. They've lost that voice of praise. But they some that have lost their voice of psalm. And that is that singing. That's what them psalms are. They're songs. There was some in particular that they sung on their way up to the temple. I mean, they sung on their way to church.
Yes, sir, buddy.
How about that? I mean, they didn't wait till they got to church and the bell rang and the preacher called on them.
Uh-oh.
No, sir, they were singing on their way to church. They was getting ready for church on their way to church.
It couldn't help it.
But they some that have lost that voice of Psalm.
Yeah.
Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They lost their song. I mean, listen, the psalmist said in Psalm 95 and 1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Somebody has put it this way. He that has a heart to sing will have a song on their heart.
That's true.
God will give you a tune.
Yeah, He will.
You may not get up here and sing. I mean, you may not sing with the choir. You may not sing special song, but at some point God will give you a song.
Yes, sir.
I mean, even if it's when you're waking up in the morning,
yeah.
God will put a song in your heart.
Amen.
I mean, listen, what was it Psalmist David said over there in Psalm 40 when he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry, and He brought me up out of an horrible pit out of the miry clay and set my feet on that solid foundation, that solid rock, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear Him. He didn't say that many would hear it. He said many would see it. Thank God, I'm telling you, God can put a song in your heart. These men has lost their song, them songs of degrees, as they went up to the temple. Listen, Ephesians 5 and 19 said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart.
Amen.
To the Lord.
To the Lord.
I've tried to tell our church this, tried to get our singers to sing out. I mean, sing out. What you got to be ashamed of?
That's right, preacher.
I mean, listen. They act like they're going to get too loud. I say, get loud.
Amen.
I said, sing unto the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that what He said? Sing to yourselves in spiritual songs and all of that unto the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it ought to be from the heart.
Amen.
Everything we do ought to be from the heart.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to open. I know you don't know me that well, but can you imagine me standing up here preaching like this, trying to tell you what the Lord told me to say?
Yeah.
You get pretty tired pretty quick.
Yeah.
Why don't He speak? That's the only way I know.
Yeah.
I just try to preach it from my heart.
Amen. That's it.
As God gives
it.
And I'm going to tell you, it'll touch somebody else.
That's right.
You sing unto the Lord from your heart, and it'll touch somebody else.
And He shall see it.
A couple of years ago, my wife had a doctor's appointment in Knoxville, and we left Caribou. And it was early. She usually makes them late afternoon appointments. For some reason, she made one before lunch. So we went to the doctor's office, and if we go to Knoxville, her favorite place to eat is Red Lobster.
Oh, Lord.
So we had to leave the doctor's office and go to Red Lobster. Well, if we go to Knoxville and we go to Red Lobster, she's got to go to shopping.
Uh-oh.
We got to go to the Dollar Tree. We got to go to Ross's. We got to go to Walmart.
Uh-oh.
And there's a Walmart 5 minutes from our house.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. We drove 1,300 miles to Texas where my dad lived. And when we got down there, we had to go to Walmart. I said, they got the same thing. She said, no, it's different. We got a Dollar Tree right beside of Walmart and still got to go to Dollar Tree over there. So what I'm trying to say is I was wore out. We went on a Friday. We went to the doctor. We went to eat, went to shop, and we stopped at the Clinton. Well, we'd done been to one Walmart and stopped at the Walmart at Clinton.
What a blessing.
On the way home to do our grocery shopping. It was either there or go to La Follette to the Walmart.
Yeah.
And I was wore out time I got through that store. I started out the day in a pretty good mood. I mean, I was feeling pretty good. I was with my wife. We got to go eat. I mean, I can live.
Yeah.
I can go with Red Lobster or not,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But time you go to Walmart and Dollar Tree and Ross's, I mean, that'll just take it all out of you. You can only lean on a buggy for so long. So we stop at Walmart and we go through and pick up our groceries and I'm ready to go and I'm getting a little grouchy. I say, come on, let's go. And I'm pushing the buggy. I've got it loaded. I'm the one's got to pay, so I might as well push. And I don't know how it is at every other Walmart, but at ours, I know who's quick and who's not. And I don't know these people, but I'm looking for one that's got the shortest line. And I'm walking down through there, and I see one, and I said, "Here's one." She said, "I've got to get something." I said, "You go get it." I said, "I'm going to get in this line." I said, "If I'm done before you get back, you're on your own." So I look down through there, and I start pushing that buggy, and there's this fella standing there doing something with the candy bars or something. And he's standing there, and he's just a-bouncing, and I notice that he's singing. I thought, "Oh, Lord, all of these aisles, and I get the nut." I said, "God, what am I going to do now?" I was in too big a hurry. I thought, "I'll just deal with him." So most of the time, you know, if it's empty, you go all the way up where the teller is or the cashier. Not me. I stay way back here. And I start unloading my buggy, and I let that belt take all them groceries up to that feller that's running the cash register. But while I'm doing that, I begin to hear that he's singing. Mm-hmm. And I think, "Wait a minute, what is that?" And I scoot up a little closer, emptying my buggy. And it starts to sound familiar. And when I finally realize, I get right up next to him, and he's singing, "I'm gonna die on the battlefield." I thank God, and I start enjoying that, and I start putting them groceries on there. And then while I'm listening, I'm getting to feeling good. My wife shows up, and she can talk to anybody. And she came up, and she started talking to him, and that was the end of the singing. Well, I got my groceries in the buggy, and I go out to the car, and I'm starting to unload my groceries, and the next thing you know, I find myself singing, "I'm gonna die on the battlefield." I'm saying tonight that if you've got a song from the Lord, thank God that it'll touch somebody. It'll make a difference for somebody. It may be somebody that's down and out. It may be somebody that's on their last mile. It may be somebody that's about ready to give it up and quit. But I say tonight, if God gives you a song, thank God that it'll be a blessing to somebody.
Amen.
Too many have lost their song. They've lost that voice of psalm. But then there's those that have lost their voice of proclamation. If you don't have the other three, if you've lost the voice of prayer, of praise, and of psalms, you've lost the voice of proclamation.
That's right, preacher. That's right.
That voice of proclamation is that voice of telling others about Jesus.
Yes.
What a great Savior that He, how wonderful,
wonderful
that He is. But isn't it sad in this hour that so many have lost that voice of proclamation? No one is telling anybody about Jesus anymore. We started visitation a couple of months ago, and this young man that just got saved, he's not been able to go because some other commitments. But he come in last night, and as he was getting ready to leave after the service, he said, "Preacher," he said, "have you got any?" He said, "I need some flyers." I said, "Flyer? What kind of flyers?" And I was looking around because we usually, if we have a revival or something or some special service, we have flyers made up so you can... I said, "Flyers?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I need them things that you hand out." I said, "Oh, you need some tracks." I said, "Right here." I said, "Here's the whole..." And he started grabbing them tracks. He said, the day before, he said yesterday, which would have been Saturday. And he told me where he started. He said, "I just started walking." He has no vehicle. And from the place that he is living to where he started handing out tracks was probably 3 or 4 miles.
Good.
And then the distance that he traveled and going on, just knocking on doors.
Hallelujah.
All by himself. Just telling folks about Jesus. Inviting folks to come to church. I said, "You stay with it, brother."
That's right, brother.
I said, "You stay on fire for God." We're to confess the Lord. He said, "If you're ashamed of me, this evil and adulterous generation," he said, "I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven." There's some that have lost that voice of proclamation. It does. I heard Joe Arthur talk about the black preacher that preached on Done Got Over It.
Done Got Over It.
I think too many have done God over it.
Oh, Lord.
Done God over what Jesus done for them. You know what? That's what revival is supposed to be
about.
Help us to get over it.
That's true.
Amen.
Get the fire back in our soul. I mean, here Zacharias had lost his voice. Some have lost this voice. They've lost the voice of prayer. They've lost that voice of praise. They've lost the voice of song. And they've lost the voice of proclamation. But notice that Zacharias did get his voice back. Verse 57 says, Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her son. Her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered, "Not so, but he shall be called John." They said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by that by this name." They made signs to his father how he would have him called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." They marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosed. And he spoke. And he praised God.
Praised God.
You know, when he got his voice back, when he got right with God.
Yeah.
When he got in the will of God.
Amen.
Maybe you're here tonight, you've lost your voice. Voice of prayer, praise.
Well, that's good, brother.
Voice of song, that proclamation. The only way to get it back, get in the will of God.
Yes.
Come to God. Aren't you glad that we serve a God of mercy tonight? Aren't you glad that we serve a God that is not just a God of first and second chances, but 8 and 10 and 12 chances?
Mm.
If it wasn't for that, I'd have been on the ash heap a long time ago.
Me too, my brother.
But I'm grateful tonight. Grateful for what a God that we serve. Brother, however you want to get somebody for invitation, sing or play or...